Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us on the show is Ben Golliver, the national NBA writer for the Washington Post newspaper. Happy New Year, Ben!
To you as well. We're off to a great start, I think, in the NBA so far, so I'm excited for it.
On New Year's Day, Ben, the longtime former commissioner of the NBA, David Stern, passed at the age of 77. There have been tributes since his death, and I read one of them by you, in which you talked about Stern's fighting spirit and how, quoting you here, he rarely shied from a confrontation. Can you talk about some of those confrontations that David Stern had over the years?
It's interesting. You know, David Stern was not the NBA's first commissioner, but I think he is probably its most important commissioner. And what sets him apart is kind of the entrepreneurial spirit, right? I mean, he took over a league that was already existing, but it was much smaller than professional football or professional baseball at the time in the early 1980s when he took over as commissioner. And it was his drive, it was his love for the fight that really helped grow the league and helped grow the sport. And I think what stands out about him more than anything, it's the fights that he would pick with virtually anyone. I mean, it doesn't matter if it was Michael Jordan, who he fined for wearing shoes that were against the NBA's dress code on the court, the shoes that became spectacularly popular, known as, you know, the Air Jordans that continue to sell in huge volume to this day, or whether it was Greg Popovich, probably the most celebrated modern coach, at least other than Phil Jackson, perhaps, here over the last couple of decades. He fined Greg Popovich hundreds of thousands of dollars for, you know, trying to rest his players you know, during national televised games. And even Mark Cuban, who I think has been proven to be a championship owner and a forward-thinking kind of a tech-minded owner here over the last 20 years, has been fined dozens of times by David Stern during his tenure. So it didn't matter if you had won titles as a player, as a coach, or as an owner. If you, you know, got on the wrong side of David Stern, you could expect to pay the price. But you know, it wasn't just you know, his disciplinarian style. It was also fighting for respect and fighting for the NBA's kind of seat at the table. He worked very hard year after year to help the NBA improve its media rights distribution, to get them better television deals and higher profile television deals and partners. And then he also worked you know, kind of tirelessly overseas to spread the game of basketball, especially in markets like China and in European markets as well. And we're starting to see some of that pay dividends for the league right now, with so many of their biggest stars being international players like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Luka Doncic. So I think it was really his drive, his persistence, and then, like I said, his love for the fight that kind of defined his 30-year tenure as NBA commissioner.
Ben, the late owner of the Washington NBA franchise, Abe Poland, he once described David Stern as a marketing genius. What were some of his key marketing moves for the NBA?
What he realized early on was the power of the superstar, and he happened to have two great ones fall into his lap with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. But he realized, I think better than anyone to that point, how to turn, you know, their personalities, their styles of play, and everything about them, their auras, into sponsorship deals, into, you know, the types of headlining acts that could really, you know, drive television ratings and sell sneakers and do all of those things. And then I think, you know, his biggest gift, and arguably the biggest gift in recent professional sports history, was just, you know, the insane talent of Michael Jordan coming along. And I think David Stern realized that it's okay to sell the player rather than selling the team. The players are going to, you know, build the bonds with fans. They're going to be the ones who can earn you very lucrative partnerships with companies like Coca-Cola and McDonald's and Gatorade and all the other sponsors who came along for the ride with Michael Jordan, and Nike probably being the biggest of all. And that superstar-centric approach really sets the NBA off from a lot of other leagues. I think, you know, in baseball, they don't necessarily market the stars. It's more about the team. Obviously, the stars are a big deal, but they're not quite as front and center as they are in the NBA. And same deal with the NFL. I mean, you have your quarterbacks, no question, in professional football, but it's still a little bit different. And when you look, you know, nowadays at the most popular or most followed athletes on social media, so many of those guys are NBA players, starting with LeBron James, Steph Curry, and right on down the list. It's the superstars' visibility that I think has helped grow the league even since, you know, Stern stepped down as commissioner. But I think that was one of his biggest movements. And the other would just be realizing that basketball, because it's relatively cheap to play, all you need is a hoop, a ball, and some friends, that could be a global sport, you know, much like soccer, where you could spread the game almost like a missionary into different countries and they would be receptive to it. I think those were sort of the two signature movements or initiatives of the David Stern tenure.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with Ben Golliver, the national NBA writer for the Washington Post newspaper. Ben, the first NBA draft that David Stern attended as commissioner was in 1984. The number one pick was an international player, Akeem the Dream Olajuwon from Nigeria. In some ways, does that draft symbolize Stern's work overseas and how he tried to attract international players?
Yeah, you could look at it that way. I would also say, remember, it's the same draft that Michael Jordan went third, right? So I think if Stern had to pick one from that draft, we know who he would have selected number one overall, right? But I think Akeem Olajuwon is such an important figure at this, no question. And you can even look at the recent efforts by the Toronto Raptors president, Masai Ujiri, who's from Nigeria, and he's built up an extraordinary series of camps and basketball courts throughout Africa as part of a program called Giants of Africa. And he is really firmly committed to getting as many potential NBA players from that continent as possible. So it's a legacy that you can trace directly from Akeem Olajuwon into the modern NBA. There's no doubt. I think the other big signature moments for David Stern from an international perspective, you know, the 1992 Olympics, the Dream Team, that was right as Jordan was peaking in popularity globally. He was finally starting to win NBA titles, finally getting through the Detroit Pistons there in the Eastern Conference. And for the NBA, it was an extraordinary opportunity. And you could see a lot of kids in Spain who saw that team play at the Barcelona Olympics grew up to be NBA players. You know, Marc Gasol, Rudy Fernandez, Sergio Rodriguez, Pau Gasol, a lot of those guys were really introduced to that sport and that same missionary spirit I mentioned earlier, you know, by that 1992 experience. So there's a number of major touch points that occurred throughout David Stern's tenure, but they were all very purposeful. You know, he went over to China and designed and built out the NBA in China company, which continues to, you know, into this day. And there's actually more people who watch NBA games in China on one of their streaming services than watch in America total combined, just because their population is so much bigger. So all of these kinds of global indicators and these global connections were taking place during David Stern's tenure. And another big one would be Yao Ming, another number one pick from overseas, much like Akeem Olajuwon, who you mentioned. Yao Ming came over during this David Stern tenure. It became such a big deal. The team that drafted him, the Houston Rockets, had Chinese beat writers covering every single one of their games. They were broadcasting the games in China, obviously. They were having Chinese sponsorships, Chinese New Year's jerseys, and right on down the list. And so, you know, these are the kinds of geopolitical maneuvers, frankly, where you're having to negotiate with the Chinese government, make sure that this incredibly prized player can come to the NBA, that David Stern deserves a lot of credit for.
This missionary spirit that you talk about with David Stern and the NBA, I guess we'll see some more of it later this year, this 12-team Basketball Africa League, which is supported by the NBA. What do you make of that effort, the Basketball Africa League?
Well, I think the NBA is expanding in a lot of directions. You should also note that they have a G League team, which is their minor league team, that they are now placing in Mexico City, and it's going to start next season. It's going to be their first year competing in the G League. So the NBA's international interests have never waned. And I would also say this, David Stern for years spoke about, can we have a division of teams in Europe? So it's like NBA Europe. Would they be able to kind of compete against each other and then maybe compete against the NBA teams as well? I think that was one of his big dreams. And I think what you're seeing with this Africa League, first of all, it's a talent cultivation device. For sure, they view the number of players that have made it from Africa or of African descent in the NBA as being just the tip of the iceberg, right? They think there's a lot more talent in a lot of these countries, and it's just a matter of, you know, can the scouts find them? Can they be taught the fundamentals at an early enough age so that they can kind of compete on the highest level, right? Because the modern game is a very skill-based game. You have to shoot. You have to be able to pass. And I think a lot of that stuff takes, you know, a lifetime of training and work. So that's, you know, one thing that league is going to be trying to do. But it's also just part of their bigger vision, right? I mean, they want kind of a basketball in every household. That would be their dream. I mean, I think in a lot of countries around the world, you know, kids play soccer first. The soccer ball is the first thing that they always touch. It's the first thing they grow up with. And I think the NBA is committed, whether it's in Mexico or the African League or even in Western Europe or China. I mean, basically everywhere, the NBA wants basketball to share that stage with soccer.
Ben, maybe the biggest international star in the NBA this season, only 20 years old, Luka Doncic. Looking at his stats through 31 games, averaging almost a triple-double, 29.4 points per game, 9.7 rebounds, almost 9 assists a game. Later this week, he'll be playing against LeBron James. Have you seen a player in only his second season make such an impact on the league?
Not since LeBron James. I think that's the most obvious comparison. And Luka right now has better stats than LeBron. And you need to be careful making that kind of a comparison because, first of all, LeBron's one of the greatest players of all time. And that's a huge burden to put on any young player. And you also have to be careful because the pace of play is faster now. So it does kind of have a juicing effect on player statistics. Luka has been the story of this season. You know, I was in you know, Staples Center here in Los Angeles last week, and Kobe Bryant brought his daughter to watch the game. They sat courtside so they could watch Luka. His daughter looked like she was practically in tears when she met him after the game. Kobe gave him a big hug. They talked a little bit of trash in Slovenian back and forth because somehow Kobe knows a few words of Slovenian. And it was such a beautiful kind of passing of the torch type moment. You know, obviously LeBron was playing for the Lakers. The Lakers won that game. But you had sort of the past, present, and future aligned with Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and Luka Doncic. I think he's a player right now who already deserves to be in the MVP conversation based on how well he's played and how well Dallas's offense has performed. They've been one of the very best offenses in the entire league this year, and he's sort of the, you know, the straw that stirs the drink. And then I also think kind of big picture, long term, like where could this go? We have to really raise our expectations for Luka. You know, he was a guy who I thought coming into this season could be an all-NBA level player. But I think what we're now looking at is he could be, you know, it's either going to be him or Giannis, most likely, is going to be the signature player of the 2020s in the decade. And I think they're going to be doing battle a lot. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see them face off in the finals, you know, in a few years down the road. I think it's fair to give him that level of hype because he has just been so consistently brilliant this season. What I love most about him is his feel and his touch. His basketball IQ is extraordinary. His passing ability is great. He sees the court sort of like a chess master or a visionary. There's shades of LeBron, you know, shades of Magic Johnson, James Harden in there. And he's just been an extraordinary star to come up. And the most impressive thing maybe is that he got more All-Star votes than LeBron James. I mean, I've never even heard of that in the NBA. And they just released the first round of voting, and Luka outpolled LeBron. So that tells you he's something special.
Ben Golliver is the national NBA writer for the Washington Post newspaper. Ben, thanks for talking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Take care. They're playing basketball.
We love that basketball. Dallas Mavericks basketball star Luka Doncic had another brilliant all-around performance Monday night in Texas. Luka tallied 38 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists for his NBA-leading 11th triple-double of the season, and the Mavericks beat the visiting Chicago Bulls 118-110. I loved how Ben Golliver talked about Doncic and his vision on the court like a chess master out there. He knows which way to move the pawns, move around the board. Luka Doncic leading in the voting for the NBA All-Star Game. The Mavs improved their record to 23 wins and 13 losses with that victory over the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls have a record of 13 victories and 24 defeats. Also in Texas, the San Antonio Spurs snapped the five-game winning streak of the Milwaukee Bucks. Final score from San Antonio, Texas. The Spurs 126 and the Milwaukee Bucks 104. It was only the sixth loss of the season for Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks, who have an NBA leading 32 wins. DeMar DeRozan led the way for the San Antonio Spurs with a game-high 25 points. Giannis played well for the Bucks, 24 points and 12 rebounds. Giannis also had 8 assists, but the Bucks they went down to defeat. Still, they have the NBA's best record, 32 victories and 6 defeats. Elsewhere around the NBA Monday night, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid scored 18 points while playing with a dislocated left ring finger, and the host Philadelphia 76ers ended a 4-game losing streak by beating the Oklahoma City Thunder 120-113. Now, Embiid dislocated the finger in the first quarter, and it was stuck, pointing in a direction that was anything but natural. The finger was promptly popped back into place. Ouch! I got a big ouch just thinking about that dislocated finger. And Joel Embiid returned to start the second quarter for Philadelphia. Joel Embiid says he basically played the rest of the game with one hand, and there's a chance he might not play Thursday night against the Boston Celtics. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Ben Golliver talked about that missionary spirit of the NBA and former commissioner David Stern. Well, that missionary spirit clearly on display Monday night. I mentioned Luka Doncic. How about Nikola Jokic? He's from Serbia, and Jokic scored a career-high 47 points for the Denver Nuggets on Monday night. The Nuggets clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks 123-115. The Nuggets have won 4 of their past 6 games, and they improved their record to 25 victories and 11 defeats. In other NBA action on Monday night, the Indiana Pacers defeated the Charlotte Hornets 115-104. The Orlando Magic, they were 101-89 winners over the Brooklyn Nets. And right here in Washington, let's give a shout out for my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards. Yes, the Wizards waved their wands and they beat the Boston Celtics 99-94. I didn't see this one coming, VOA listeners. I thought the Celtics would win this game, but Ish Smith filling in for the injured Bradley Beal tallied a game-high 27 points for the Wizards. Jaylen Brown led the Celtics with 23 points. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA called on Dr. Stephen Mall, a medical expert from the University of North Carolina, to help treat an astronaut aboard the International Space Station. The astronaut had developed a deep vein thrombosis, or blood clot, in his jugular vein. The biggest concern of this condition is that part of the clot could break off and travel to the lungs, where it could cause a pulmonary embolism. Since it wasn't possible to send Dr. Mall to the ISS to treat the person, he began his evaluation and treatment procedure from his office at UNC. Dr. Mall and NASA doctors decided the best way to treat their patient was with a regimen of blood-thinning drugs. While the supply of these drugs aboard the ISS was limited, it was enough to treat the astronaut until a supply ship delivered medications recommended by Dr. Mall that would successfully complete the treatment. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We are experiencing some technical difficulties here in Studio 22 at our VOA headquarters. We thank you for bearing with us and listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. Quick shout out for Samson Omale, our Daybreak Africa sportsman. We heard that promo from James Buddy. Samson does sports reports for Daybreak Africa on Mondays and Fridays, and I encourage you to tune in. In soccer news, Rice Nelson secured Arsenal's passage to the FA Cup's fourth round. He helped seal a 1-0 victory for the Gunners over visiting Leeds in London on Monday, after the Gunners were initially outplayed by the second-tier opponent. Nelson had a close-range finish off Alexander Lacazette's cross about 10 minutes into the second half. Leeds outshot Arsenal 15-3 in that game and dominated possession in the first half. Now let's go to Italy, where Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo once again had a tremendous match for Juventus. Cristiano had a hat trick and set up the other goal as Juventus eased past Cagliari 4-0 in Turin in Italy's Serie A. And that wraps up the January 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, Africa. This is James Bartey, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
The 62nd Annual Grammy Awards Show is coming up. To celebrate, Border Crossings will play songs from the winners of the 2019 American Music Awards to refresh you on some of last year's best tracks. Tune in to hear from your favorite artists like Post Malone, BTS, and Taylor Swift, January 23rd on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA called on Dr. Stephen Mall, a medical expert from the University of North Carolina, to help treat an astronaut aboard the International Space Station. The astronaut had developed a deep vein thrombosis, or blood clot, in his jugular vein. The biggest concern of this condition is that part of the clot could break off and travel to the lungs, where it could cause a pulmonary embolism. Since it wasn't possible to send Dr. Mall to the ISS to treat the person, he began his evaluation and treatment procedure from his office at UNC. Dr. Mall and NASA doctors decided the best way to treat their patient was with a regimen of blood-thinning drugs. While the supply of these drugs aboard the ISS was limited, it was enough to treat the astronaut until a supply ship delivered medications recommended by Dr. Mall that would successfully complete the treatment. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.